Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents...
Is your website purdy?
Smile! You're at Mr. Smiley!
Does it work right?
Would you like to try our new beef and cheese pot pie on a stick? Just $1.99 for a limited time only?
Can people find it?
Say it! Say it!
Come on, you bet!
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast. Because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design and Fennel Mint Gum. Finally, the bold taste of fennel and the icy cool of peppermint come together in a gum that will change your breath forever. Look for it at your local grocery store or convenience store. Now, this week's podcast actually was an impromptu conversation. You remember a few weeks ago, we were talking with Mind's own Chad Rock McComsey, lead designer, about dog facts. But we started talking about a really interesting topic, and the Ollie's Bargain Outlet came to mind, because what we were talking about is how sometimes bad design... I mean, if you want a website, if you want materials for your business, you want clean design, you want sharp design, and yet there are, if you've seen the Ollie's Bargain Outlet flyers, the website and all, it's, you know, you kind of get the feeling that, you know, bad design somehow can work sometimes. Not that you go after it, but it's that odd occasion, and you think to yourself, man, why did somebody pay for this? Why did somebody pay for it to look like this? So we're going to pick up this conversation here. I'm going to turn it over to Chad Rock because, again, it was an impromptu conversation, and I think it would be really great. There's some really great information in here for you. So I'm going to turn it over to Chad Rock now.
Yeah, Ollie's just sprung to mind quick because thinking about some of their advertising, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. It's not, it looks cheap, but... It's Ollie's. It's what Ollie's does.
Right, good stuff, cheap.
That's what works for them, and that's why you don't have an expectation. I don't have an expectation when I see something from them that it's gonna blow my socks off, or that it's
right.
Gonna be like really well done. It's that form function thing where the function of it is to get that message out there and is to make sure that everyone knows that there's a huge discount on XYZ. The method or the mode that it's transported doesn't necessarily matter as much as we got this XYZ for this much money. Like this is this huge discount. Da, da, da. So that kind of stuff, that's where like the give and take kind of comes in.
I have always liked Ollie's transparency from that regard too, because you know, you go in there, they've got, you know, from the floor to the ceiling, you know, all this Rachel Ray cookware or something like that, you know, their flyers. The sales flyers.
Yeah.
I can't find a damn thing on them. And evidently it works for them because they still do it. But I mean, you've seen the Ollie's flyers, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it's like since we went to an auction a couple weeks back down in Strasbourg, and I guess Facebook had picked up that I checked in there because I've been getting more like ads and more things related to going to auctions, and I have a couple of brothers in the masonry area that do those kind of things, and you know, they've been sharing them as well. And I kind of look at it in that way. There's a demographic, or there's at least a certain type of person that those kind of flyers, that kind of information presented in that manner makes sense, and those are the people that buy, and those are the people that they're ultimately marketing to. Those people don't give a rip that the image isn't, you know, is too small, or that, you know, you're emphasizing the wrong information. Like, those people don't care because this is the format that they know, this is the format that they like, and they just want to ultimately go get that good deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's when you're dealing with that kind of scenario, it's difficult to interject with good and bad design, because it's really at that point it's beyond the objectiveness of yes, that's good, yes, that's bad. It's more or less, well, it might not be good, it might not be bad, but it works because it relates to this market where we're going. And whether or not it's good or bad, you know, we can always have that discussion. At the end of the day, is does it work? And if it works, then the design can kind of still be subpar, but still get the message across, still get the point across. So
it's almost like they've got their clientele, and their clientele is going to shop there regardless. So it really doesn't matter how good or bad the flyer looks.
Yeah.
How does that feel as a designer? You know, if there's a certain charm to it, the little Ollie, the little Ollie guy, you know, the caricature and all. But it's like I look at it and I think to myself, this was deliberately designed like this.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, it, absolutely. It kind of has to be. Because if you try to take, like I said, if you try to take one piece of it and make it the hero, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, because in that situation, everything, there's probably not one single thing there that they would say, we sell this more than anything else, because of the kind of business it is, because what they sell in general. So like, you're never going to have, I think a couple times I went there, they had carpet remnants, they had children's books, they had like
all in the same place.
Yeah, and it was literally like, you know, two aisles apart from each other. And yeah, there was like a whole huge section of cookware and things of that nature. So they're not going to say we have the best cookware deals or we have the best carpet deals or whatever. Like like you said, it's good stuff cheap. It's decent quality materials. There's just a bunch of randomness there. So
I get it though, because they could have the carpet remnants now and next month they have no carpet remnants.
Right. Yeah. So don't market something that you might not have within a couple of days even. You know, you have a big sale on something, but you have a limited number of it, limited quality, quantity. That stuff typically goes quick. And so, you know, are you wasting space by, you know, giving something a good amount of territory when you can fit five or six other things in the same space and they all go at the same rate? From a designer's perspective, it is frustrating when you deal with something like that, but it's easier to deal with something like that knowing ahead of time that's what you're getting into.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to establish. When I did my internship for like a local paper, it was, you know, here's all the content. Just, you know, make it look good within these columns. You know, you have like you know, 8 to 10, you know, column width and on some of these papers, sometimes more, sometimes less, but, and you're trying to fit in, you know, a couple paragraphs worth of content into, you know, a given area. Your ability to lay that out with all the other things that are going on the page come into play there. So, you know, so there is some things that you can do to make it better, but sometimes you're left with not much to work with. And you just got to make the best of it. It's definitely difficult, but it's something that kind of comes along with the job. You kind of have to be able to look at it and figure things out to make something like that work. You know, making a half page worth of content fit into a quarter page space. Okay.
Or in the case of Ollie's, making an entire page content work in a quarter of page space.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to sell the store, and you know, on a page when you can do it, you know, with a book. You know, those are the kind of problems that designers typically have to deal with anyway. So it is a bit of a kick in the pants every once in a while to get something like that or to have to deal with it. But I think that anybody that does this or anybody that's familiar with you know, any kind of visual marketing or advertising understands that there are limitations that everyone deals with. That's content, that's client, that's everything. That's any part of the process. You know, if you ever get those clients that say, here's what I want, just go to town, just do whatever. Here's my idea, you do whatever you want, and run with it. You get those guys, hold on to them and love them dearly, because it's because you don't get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not the way it is.
Well, thanks for talking about ollies and more specifically about how sometimes, I guess, intentionally bad design can kind of work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way. It's a good way to phrase it.
We're not encouraging it.
No, we don't encourage bad design, but sometimes bad design is bad design for a reason.
Yeah.
And yeah, if those reasons are, we'll say if those reasons are legitimate and it's just not bad design and you're just trying not playing it off as, oh well, yeah, our market really digs shitty design. So
yeah.
I've
kind of felt that on those flyers too, the fact that it is designed the way it is, it's almost like we didn't really have time to do this up pretty.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how long this stuff's going to be here. There's almost like an implied sense of urgency in a strange way. Is that fair?
That. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's absolutely it. And you'll notice that a lot of that comes through in people's work. You can sometimes tell that things like that are pushed out last minute or pushed out very close to the end because you start seeing deviations in alignments, especially if they're trying to be overly creative and they use different fonts and they use different images and use like a bunch of other just random garbage, whatever, to try and make it look more appealing. You see a lot of that kind of stuff going on where it's like, yeah, you can tell that, you know, you didn't put your heart and soul into it, you know. But I mean, again, like, how the hell can you put your heart and soul into something like that where it's the turnaround is literally on a weekly basis?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's you gotta separate yourself from that, and that's one of the things that
it's probably hard to do.
It is. Well, that's why I don't work in the newspaper industry anymore or any kind of magazine-y type of area. Media in general is difficult because you have to make it work within certain constraints, and then you have to so usually the creativity is kind of sucked out of it. It's all very cookie cutter, and you lose your way doing that. And for a designer, you know, for someone that's creative and, you know, kind of gets by on being able to do things, you know, a certain way, be able to be creative, be able to design and lay out in a certain way, to have the freedom to do something on a page, after a while, getting stifled every once in a while, everything just kind of becomes autonomous and work just kind of ends up looking the same as everything else. And yeah, you can see the lack of time, the lack of effort.
Well, Chad, thanks again for talking design with us. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Mind Your Business podcast.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
The Samuel L. Bronkowitz Production.